Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. Welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. I'm your host and headmaster, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to today's students. Sitting on my left is a comedian from Canton, Tim Danko.
Thank you very much for having me here, Jerry.
Thanks for coming to class today.
No problem.
I appreciate good attendance. Sitting on my right is a comedian, author, and musician, Gordon Willis.
Gordon Willis is dead. He was the cinematographer for The Godfather. My name's Willis Gordon.
You get 5 points. I was just testing you, Willis. And you get a bonus 5 points for The Godfather reference.
And already he's putting things in his wheelhouse.
Come on.
Yes.
He doesn't need it.
And sitting directly across from me is the youngest comedian from Akron, Chad Weaver.
Thank you. I'm happy I'm still stuck in school.
Yes. You know, school never ends for the true intellectual. Chad, I don't like you at the back of the room. Scoot up more.
Oh, okay. Hey.
And Willis, you look a little too cool for school, too. Come on in. Don't sit at the back like that.
Chad, you wear too much makeup. People say that about my sister. They think she's a whore.
Welcome to today's class, where I will be testing my students with questions from across the width and breadth of human knowledge, and as any good teacher would, grading your answers. And at the end of today's class, I'll tally everyone's grades, and today's top pupil will win the coveted classroom prize of the Golden Banana.
Right.
See, that's why I was saying Golden Banana. I wasn't being racist.
I know. I can put this right next to my bronze watermelon. It'll be fantastic.
Now you don't need to go over all your credits and accolades now. Calm down. Our first quiz question is going to come from the field of American history. And the question I have for you...
No whammies.
...is presidential trivia. Four, that's right, four U.S. presidents were successfully assassinated. Can you name them?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. Minus 5 points for the obvious.
McKinley.
Garfield.
We have a vote for McKinley and a vote for Garfield.
Kennedy.
And Kennedy.
Yeah.
We have now listed the four presidents who were indeed assassinated.
Someone had to say Lincoln.
Congratulations. And 5 points for your enthusiasm for jumping in right away like that. Do you know the name of the four presidents' assassins? Lincoln? We'll let Tim do Lincoln.
John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Boom.
All right. Garfield. Anyone? Anyone? Charles Guiteau.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
But it was a French name. So that's an interesting similarity.
Okay.
And William McKinley? Of the four...
He's from Canton, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He wasn't from Canton.
No, yeah. He actually has the assassin with the most difficult to pronounce name.
Richard M. Papadopoulos.
was a Greek from Ohio.
Not Greek, but he's Polish American. Leon Slazgaz.
That's
great.
Who will be in the third Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie?
If he hadn't killed McKinley, was he going to start a company called Slazgaz that created gauze?
Yes, absolutely.
Slazgaz is gauze.
Slazgaz, gauze.
The weird name I reserve for assassins is Gavrilo Princep. That's all I've got in my bank.
And John F. Kennedy's assassin?
Supposedly, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, he gets all the credit, doesn't he?
He does. That bastard.
Lee Harvey Oswald's assassin?
Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby. 5 points for that. Well done.
Jack Ruby's assassin?
Stomach cancer.
I was going to say Father Time, yes. But...
Diabetes.
It happens.
Do we know the presidents who were unsuccessfully assassinated?
I have in my lesson plan.
let him teach you class.
Yeah, see?
I'm asking.
No, I appreciate students with an inquisitive nature.
He will give you detention, though.
Some presidents have been the targets of, international plots. But if we're talking someone walked up to them and tried to shoot them, there are 6 more presidents who were shot at unsuccessfully.
Reagan. Look at the obvious one again.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Hold on. I got to spread this out now. Gerald, we got Ford. Reagan. Yes, that's one. And you said Teddy Roosevelt.
Gerald,
that's two.
Ford twice.
Gerald Ford. And you get an A++ for knowing the twice.
John Quincy Adams.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew Jackson, you are correct, sir. Willis knows a lot assassinating presidents. We need 2 more.
Does the shoe throw at Bush count?
What about the one at...
Well, I'm sure in Middle Eastern schools they teach it as such.
We almost got him. Clinton
was in fact the subject of one of these
international plots.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But no one stepped up.
I tried so
shot
hard.
At someone. I know because Andrew Jackson beat the living hell out of somebody with a stick after that, and that's the reason why we have the Secret Service.
No, there's 2 more we haven't named yet.
How recent? Am I allowed to ask for hints?
They are both 20th century presidents. They are both 20th century presidents. As you might imagine, if you like presidential history, all of these stories are kind of fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to just ask a couple of more follow-up questions to some of the interesting, obscure details. But can we get the other 2 presidents?
I'm blanking out.
Hoover?
Who
this seems like that would happen.
He was not a very popular president, but no one took a pot shot at him.
Huh?
After Kennedy.
Oh, Kennedy? After Kennedy was Johnson.
Yeah, Lyndon B. Johnson. I don't know. LBJ.
No, Johnson had a surgery. He didn't have anything. Nobody tried to kill Nixon, I don't think.
Nope. These are all before that. These are all... Okay.
So Calvin Coolidge?
Well, the answer are the other 2.
Is it Taft with diabetes?
For the
Zachary.
Let's just keep feeding him.
Cold and rain.
We mentioned Ronald Reagan, Gerald Ford, Theodore Roosevelt, and Andrew Jackson. The 2 we haven't mentioned are Franklin Roosevelt.
And
Harry Truman.
Really? Who tried to kill Truman?
2 Puerto Rican independence activists.
The usual.
Oscar and Grizz.
Grizz?
Yes.
Wow.
Sounds like
were
really
they Muppets?
Scene.
What was this? It's Oscar and Grizz.
Tuesday is this for Oscar and Grizz.
Do they star in West Side Story?
Oscar and Grizz.
Sorry.
The Theodore Roosevelt is, in fact, possibly my single favorite president.
Oh, it's an amazing story. Oh, I love it.
A saloon keeper named John Schrank shot at him and hit him in the chest. But like a cartoon or a movie from the 40s, he had something in his vest that stopped the... It didn't stop the bullet, but it slowed it down enough that it turned into a non-fatal wound. He actually had a copy of his speech, which was 50 pages long.
Didn't he do his speech right after?
Yeah.
10 points for Chad Weaver.
Yes, he continued his speech.
He stood up and did his speech. He self-diagnosed that it wasn't a fatal or a life-threatening wound because he was not coughing up blood.
Yes.
And then he stood up and did his speech, and he began his speech by saying, I'm paraphrasing, but giving the message, they don't want me to give you this speech, but I'm not afraid of them.
Right.
They just shot me, and I'm still giving you this speech.
Absolutely.
And then...
That's awesome.
X-rays located the bullet, and it was... in a non-lethal location, so they decided not to operate. That the operation would be more dangerous than the bullet just being there. And he lived the rest of his life with a bullet in his chest.
If you rode with the Rough Riders at some point, I feel like that shouldn't bother you at all.
I feel like Theodore Roosevelt
bullet,
was...
Just one bullet?
Yeah, just one bullet?
Sissies.
I feel like Theodore Roosevelt and his assassination attempt was in 1912.
Yes.
That he was the last of almost the old school presidents who were both very learned, like Renaissance men who sort of knew everything. He wrote books on botany and biology. He was a soldier, but he's also a progressive politician.
So people who would never get nominated.
Correct, right. Yes.
Nowadays. Right.
People actually qualified to be president.
To run a country, yes.
He was possibly the last of that mold.
Instead of people that just are career.
Right. Yeah. Kennedy was a wild card, but other than that.
Yes, and we'll, in that sense, we'll never sort of know everything that he may have accomplished.
Right.
And so on.
Andrew Jackson's story of assassination is amazing as well. It's just like somebody came up to him and tried to shoot him, but the gun misfired. And so there was this awkward moment of like the gun didn't go off. And so Andrew Jackson, there's no Secret Service at this point, just grabs his walking stick and starts beating the ever-loving crap out of this guy.
His assassin was Richard Lawrence. And there is one more detail. Like, I'll give you 8 points for that story.
Daniel Boone being there, is that part of it?
Actually, David Crockett was there.
David Crockett, that's who it was. Yeah.
That is a good detail.
Not
but
Johnny
he, the Lawrence pulled out his pistol, like at more or less point blank range, and it didn't fire. He had a second pistol, which he pulled out, and it also misfired. And then Jackson started hitting him with his cane.
It's really just who made those guns.
Yes.
The guy who made Andrew Jackson's guns?
Yeah.
No, this is going to be funny.
I think the president having full-time bodyguards started with Lincoln because there were death threats during the Civil War. And
he actually had bodyguards?
He had a security team.
They dropped the ball on that one.
But there was no precedent for how to have a security team, so they didn't follow him 24-7. They didn't realize
we'll
how
protect
the
president, but we hate plays.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you go to the theater, you're on your own, Mr. President.
Do we have to see Rent again? Jesus.
I have to see Rent again. I'll shoot myself.
It's really his wife's fault.
Yes.
I saw the movie.
All right. Well, while I'm tallying your grades over that first quiz question, I've been told that I have a tendency to criticize my students and that I should try to build them up more. So I have here a list of random compliments teachers can give students, and I would just like to tell you guys, you're the best. All right.
He is right. I am the best.
He looks right at you, too. I feel left out.
It's the polo. Supple.
Mm-hmm. The polio?
Polo. We're not talking about FDR anymore.
Well, I would like to point out to the listeners at home that Tim is the only student in class today not wearing a tie.
That's true.
Yeah, man. So.
That's true. If I knew, I would have.
If it was going to be that kind of school. I have a question. This is some trivia, but it's the kind of thing you'd think people would have guesses about. This is U.S. Census. What is, in fact, the most common last name in America?
Jones?
Johnson?
We have a vote for Jones and Johnson. Tim?
I'm gonna go with Miller.
You all get 5 points for listing other names in the top 10, but you all get minus 10 for not actually getting the right answer. Smith.
Yes. I figured it can't be Smith. Yeah. He says, what's actually? Yeah, I said, it can't be the obvious one being Smith.
No, it is the obvious one, which is Smith.
Is John Smith the most common name?
I do not have that statistic in front of me, but it is what you would guess.
Yeah.
Johnson is, in fact, the second most common name.
I'll take so.
Jones, fifth, and Miller, sixth. I'd be just interested if you could round out the top five. So Smith, Johnson, what's 3, 4, and 5?
Brown.
Five is Jones.
Brown.
Brown,
yeah.
Brown is fourth. Okay. Smith, Johnson, Murray. Something. Brown, Jones. Murray is not even in the top 10. Sorry, sir.
Bill should count for 35% of the population.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
James?
Genetically, he may.
No, James.
Let me ask you this.
More?
While you ponder. This is, again, the U.S. Census of 2000. Mm. Any idea how many Smiths there are roaming around the United States? If you had to put a figure to the name.
Of 2000, so what was the total of people in the United States?
Over 300 million.
Okay.
20 million.
You said 20,
10. 10 million.
10 million, 20 million?
I'll say 30, yeah. Jerry.
30 or 30 million?
30 million, yes.
You guys are way overestimating this.
Okay.
It The answer is 2 million. Okay. 2 million. Less, yeah. Around to 2.3 million.
Really?
Yeah, that's the most common name. Johnson. Number three is Williams.
Hmm. Is Wilson on that too?
No. Wilson is number 10, actually. Wilson is number 10 with, according to census data, 780,000 Wilsons.
Do only Weavers crack that top 10?
Weavers do not crack the top 10.
How about Joffe?
Joffe only cracks the top 10 of Jewish names in the United States.
Does it really?
Oh, yes. It's okay. A very common Jewish name. Which is why in my high school in Toledo, Ohio, I was the only Joffe out of 500 students. But when I went to Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, there were like 50 Joffes and a student body of like 5,000.
The listeners didn't see you brush your shoulders off when you said Brown University.
Well, but I did say it with the proper tone that they could visualize it.
Yes.
I'm sorry we can't all go there, Jerry.
If you're not familiar with Brown, it's the Ivy League.
Yes, you are.
It says Joffe like it's a slur. Look at all these Joffes around here. Like,
you know, Brown's been overrun with them. Yes. This used to be a good school until they started letting Joffes in. Yeah,
all these Joffes running the banks. It's ridiculous.
As a bunch of those rich Joffes.
As a pointless footnote to this digression, even though Brown statistically has the largest demographic of Jewish students, it is the only Ivy League without a kosher kitchen.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
How's their media?
The best, Chad. The best.
That's what I thought.
All right. So we rounded out the top five. We got some statistics. We got the number of Smiths. All right.
I like the techno music.
Mm-hmm. They were playing TLC earlier.
Hopefully no one else can hear that.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible music.
Over that last part, you should just rewind and play Unpretty by TLC, because that's what I was hearing. It was amazing.
Insert background music.
I have a question, which I suspect is also going to be harder than it looks, that is on
baseball.
The topic on the table. For baseball, some people, but in this case, theology.
Okay.
Some people, baseball is a religion. Most of those people have a two-digit IQ.
Or a James Earl Jones.
I said most. A few people appreciate the beauty of the game.
You can have like 99. That's pretty good.
Yeah. 99 is almost average.
Yes, a point below average. Just a bit outside.
There's a lot. amongst the various versions of Christianity, Jesus' mother Mary is known for having, shall we say, four metaphysical attributes. This is sometimes referred to in theological circles as Mariology, the study of the supernatural aspects of Jesus' mother. Keeping aside cults or weird spins, there is fundamentally four of these, sometimes referred to as dogmas. So, do you know the four supernatural qualities of Mary?
Her
virgin birth.
Immaculate conception.
Yes.
Does that count as one?
Her ghost private.
Immaculate conception is one of the four.
Okay.
That's so Tim gets an A for that. But if you want full points,
Captain Obvious. That's been...
do you know what immaculate conception refers to?
Yes.
This trips some people up. Willis/Gordon thinks that he knows. Chad or Tim, do you know what the Immaculate Conception actually is?
Is it just that without she had a child without any intercourse, I guess? Full virgin?
She was impregnated while being a virgin by act of God.
I'm waiting for Immaculate Conception this entire time.
Willis.
It was the...
Gordon.
The perfect...
This isn't our fault.
You have like two last names, basically.
I have two first names as well.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Firsty.
So what do you got? What is the Immaculate Conception?
It's the perfect formation. It's the formation of a perfect being inside of somebody's body without any outside interference. This is a holy impregnation, I suppose.
You want to add something, Chad?
Wait, I was going to say, so does that mean they're saying Jesus is a perfect dude?
Well,
I guess he had great abs.
Yes.
You all get A's for going with the popularly misconceived wrong answer of what Immaculate Conception means.
Yeah, we're only human.
I will, yes, indeed.
For now.
How ironic. That Virgin Mary, that Mary was a virgin, is a separate dogma.
Okay.
And it is sometimes called the perpetual virginity.
Oh,
because
nice.
Even not only was she considered virginally pregnant, but that she remained virginal even after.
Because sex is dirty.
And if as in the story, Jesus is the Son of God, then she was not changed by the birthing. That's the perpetual virginity of Mary. That's one of the dogmas. Immaculate Conception is a separate dogma, which means, you know, according to Christian belief, that Mary herself was born without sin.
That's right, because Mary is without sin.
That's right. And so, of course, Adam and Eve, and then since then, everyone's born with sin.
Make it hoity-toity.
Exactly. Hoity-toity. It's the hoity-toity dogma of Mariology.
Yes.
We got perfect people. You know, yes. We're Christianity.
Well, it had to be, because, you know, women in general are filthy according to religion.
Just religion.
They are made out of ribs.
So.
They are the barbecued
delicious.
And these are like smoky bone ribs, by the way. Not the good ribs, like Louisiana or something. There are two more dogmas. They are less famous than those two, but in the study of Mariology, there are two more supernatural qualities. I would bet dollars for dingoes that you can guess one, but probably the other will be a surprise. Any thoughts on what the other two might be?
So we have...
We have that she was born without sin,
without sin,
and that she is a perpetual virgin, even after Jesus' birth.
I've never been to church.
Well, neither have I. I looked all this up on the internet.
The real church.
Yes.
Her birth didn't wreck it.
It bounced right back.
Right back. This is elastic.
This is, pre-plastic surgery.
Jesus actually popped out like an alien. Yeah. She was just John Hurt. That's all
like,
it was.
It's like a teleporter.
Right. Exactly. Jesus materialized outside.
Well, the third dogma of Mariology is if, as according to the story, Jesus is not only the Son of God, but indeed God, then therefore Mary is the mother of God.
Yes.
So that is a third separate dogma.
Is the fourth that God didn't make her finish?
Chad Weaver, we were in a classroom.
I'm sorry.
Listen, Kinsey was in a classroom.
But you do get 10 points for saying what everybody was thinking.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it.
The fourth dogma of Mariology, I would say if you weren't a churchgoer or an in-depth studier of theology, as I am an in-depth studier of theology, is the one that sort of is the forgotten one. In fact, the other three that we've already mentioned have kind of been part of the cult of Mary for millennia. This fourth one was only affirmed by the Catholic Church in 1950, although in folk culture it was kind of assumed to be true, but it wasn't like official until the 20th century, which is kind of odd. Shows how the Catholic Church works, I suppose. That is what's called the Assumption.
Mm-hmm.
That Mary was herself assumed straight to heaven when she died.
Oh, wow.
Body and soul, they will say.
Happened.
Go ahead, ask it. I'm here to educate.
Yeah. That happened to Moses and who else?
I feel like you should get a couple perks.
Assume straight, is that like the first class of going to heaven? And
yes.
Like everyone else gets coached?
Correct.
Basically, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
That happened to Moses on top of Mount Sinai.
Oh, because doesn't everyone else have to like be asked questions before the gates or whatever? She was like, you're in, come right in. She's on the list.
Well, after the rapture is what happens.
They're allowed to go straight to the front of the line of the Millennium Force.
Yes.
Front of the line pass.
Yes. Yeah.
All day heaven, front of the line pass.
She's on the list.
Riding the beast.
She's on the list, yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to return to my grade book and do some final calculations. I have Wilson, not the supercomputer, the soccer ball, helping me do these calculations. But while I do them, I'd like to offer all of my students, each of my students, a chance to earn some extra credit.
Wasn't Wilson a
Here's volleyball. Oh, come on, let's get it.
Boom, boom.
Minus 5 points for correcting the teacher.
Yeah. Ah. Suckers.
That was Chad. So
but hey, yes, Chad. So we'll have a clean slate and start the extra credit portion of the class now. Now, Chad, what do you have to say for yourself? Make it a good one.
Going back to the original one, talking about the assassinated presidents, I'm actually related to McKinley. He's like my grandfather is his like grandson, so royalty.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because we are, of course, all related to the presidents.
I guess, yeah.
It's all a question of cousins and genetics and so forth. But you have a direct lineage.
Yeah, my dad was from a... It's only by marriage, my aunt's is McKinley, last name.
Sure. So you just need to be sure that the great-grandson of the great-grandson of McKinley's assassin doesn't find you.
It's true.
Okay.
Yes. The one president everybody liked enough to shoot.
Yeah.
Let's kill him.
Yeah, Warren G. Harding was like an eighth black, so I might be in there somewhere.
I'm trying, guys. Okay, I have
Hardings in my family, so it's possible.
Then don't rule out Thomas Jefferson.
There you go, exactly. Thomas and or George.
Yes.
Really most of them.
Yes. Moses, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, any extra credit comments? Are these musical notes of some kind?
I'm actually worried.
Tim is choking. Quick, someone
He's
do the Heimlich
whale
maneuver.
Calls. Right?
Interesting fact about whale calls is that whales do not actually sing in any way, shape, or form. But in the 70s, an album that was a recording of whales making that noise they make was released as a fundraiser for whale preservation, and the album was called Whale Songs.
Hmm.
How many people bought that album?
A lot, actually.
A lot.
Yeah, actually, and another Avicii is actually doing a remix of that album. And he said that's going to be dropped here soon.
I was going to say.
In fall, yeah.
Mix it up with
It's
going to
be Avicii. Avicii, Avicii.
I'll also point out that Avicii is in no way a sponsor of the show.
In the background of that album, you can hear the USS Enterprise landing to save the whales. Actually, that's what we're going to hear. Oh,
Willis, do you have some knowledge to drop on us?
Let's see. The knowledge.
And if it's going to be Doctor Who trivia, make sure it's really shocking. Don't go with anything obvious.
Well, someone we're a mutual fan of, mm-hmm. For other nerds or collectors of culture out there, Douglas Adams, the guy who wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, mm-hmm. actually wrote a bunch of episodes of Doctor Who in the 70s under a pen name for some,
right.
And one of the most famous, City of Death, mm-hmm. was written by him,
right.
Which is interesting because John Cleese is in that episode, and
yes.
So is the bad guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right.
It's awesome. It's fantastic.
Well, Douglas Adams is sometimes list Monty Python as one of his credits,
mm-hmm.
And I, if you think that Brown name dropping was good, I had an opportunity to meet Graham Chapman once.
Nice.
And I had a Q&A after a public event where he was like the featured speaker. And I asked him about Douglas Adams. And he actually didn't want to talk about it because he wanted to talk about himself. But the short version is they were six. Monty Python is six. But they had like, I don't want to say hanger-ons, but they would write in little subgroups,
right.
Go off and write scripts. And Douglas Adams was friends with Graham Chapman.
That's
And they
amazing.
Would occasionally write together.
That's fantastic.
So he's like not part of Monty Python,
right.
But he vaguely has a writing credit on Monty Python.
It's like Gore Vidal has that writing credit for Ben-Hur.
Right.
It's like, I didn't write that script. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's going to be hard to top a Douglas Adams reference.
It will. Yeah.
That's for sure. All right. Well, I've calculated your grades, and this is certainly one of the best classes I've ever had.
No.
Chad Weaver's grade is an A.
Gotcha.
And Willis Gordon / Gordon Willis's grade is an A+. But Tim Danko, with his A++, is the winner of today's Golden Banana, Tim Danko.
Oh, did you do your math right? Thank you. I've got the Golden Banana.
Nice fit stains, too.
And, oh, man, I've sweat so much.
Oh, man.
Straight through this polo.
Okay.
No, you got to wear two shirts.
Two more shifts. I carried deodorant on me.
My last bit of advice for Tim and anyone listening at home is, if you sweat a lot, don't wear cotton.
Yes.
Because cotton absorbs sweat. It doesn't breathe.
That is true.
Velvet is the way to go.
Black felt is my favorite.
On that note, it just remains for me to thank you, my students, Tim, Chad, Willis/Gordon.
Thank you, Doc.
For attending today's class. I'm Dr. Jerry Jaffe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.